The reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There, Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he showed himself holy among them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello again. Hello to those who are here. Hello to those who are watching on a little screen in your rooms. The story that Janet read to us is the second of two instances where water came from a rock. If we are to be following through this story of the children of Israel in the wilderness chronologically, we would have gone to the first of those stories because that happened fairly near the beginning of their journey. You can read that in Exodus 16, I think it is. Do have a look at it and see how it compares with this story of water from the rock, which came towards the end of their time in the wilderness. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Or at least, yes, focus on it, but focus on more what God would say to us from it. So let's pray. Lord God, I pray that as we look at this remarkable story, you would speak to us from it. I pray, Lord, that your words will speak into our hearts through the vehicle of my words. And Lord, I pray there will be a sense in which the words that we speak to ourselves will chime with the words that I say, so that we feel your word touching us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What if you've ever been, or even now, go through a difficult time, or maybe you're helping someone go through a difficult time, and you say to yourself, "Do you know what? I don't think things could get any worse than this." And then somehow they do. That is how it was with Moses in this story. He had a sister called Miriam, who he was close to. He had traveled through the wilderness with her. He knew her before then. And it says just in this little simple sentence at the beginning of this story, Miriam died and was buried. That would have been a huge thing for Moses, bereft of his sister. In addition to that, Moses by this time was pretty tired. He wasn't a young man, approaching 120 years of age. He was tired. And then, as if it couldn't get any worse than that, they ran out of water. And not surprisingly, the people complained. That was a pretty tough situation to be in. It's difficult for us to identify with it, because not very often do we lead thousands of people through a wilderness and face that sort of challenge, but just home in on the fact that things were tough. And it's when things are difficult like that that God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to come to him and cry out to him and say, Lord, please help me. It's at times like that that God wants to show us, hear this, God wants to show us his holiness. Moses, perhaps at that time, if someone had said to him, are you ready for God's holiness? He might have said, I've never really quite understood God's holiness. He might have said to you, there was a time when God gave me a commandment to bring to people, and the commandment was beyond belief. God says, tell the people, be holy as I am holy. You read that in Leviticus. Says it twice. And it's sufficiently important that it's picked up in the New Testament as well by Peter. Be holy as I am holy. I don't think Moses quite understood what that meant. I'll tell you for why. Because in this story, Moses failed to grasp the significance of God's holiness. Why do I say that? Because it says it in the text. At the end of what Janet read to us, God's word to Moses, you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy. You misunderstood my holiness. What a thing to say to Moses, who'd served him faithfully for 40 years. And then, as if we hadn't quite got the point, it goes on to say, these were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he proved holy among them. Even if we misunderstand God's holiness, he will demonstrate and prove it. So let's look at this story again and see if we can discover what it means to discover God's holiness. As I said a moment ago, when things are difficult, it's good to repair to the presence of God. That's what Moses did. He did the right thing. He also very sensibly took someone with him. Sometimes when things are difficult, it's difficult to pray on our own. It's good to have someone with us to pray. And Moses took his trusted brother, Aaron. It says, there was no water for the company. The people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. And Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. They went together. So far, so good. So far, so good. And then God, true to his word, revealed himself to them. And the thing that happened next is one of the most remarkable things in the life of Moses, let alone one of the most remarkable things, I think, in the Old Testament. It's simple. Again, it's simple words. It simply says, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. It was... want to say, but please, Moses, tell us a bit more about it. What was it like, this glory? Just the glory of the Lord appeared to them. We don't know what it's like. It must have been remarkable. Remarkable. When I see Moses, I'll say to Moses, have you got a minute? Tell me about that time when the glory, what was it? Was it like a light? Was it like fire? Was it loud? Was it silent? Did it feel kind of on the inside? The glory of the Lord appeared to him. I want to say to you, there will come an indescribable moment in your experience when desperately you throw yourself on the face down before the Lord and wait. It won't be the same for all of us. It'll be different from you, from the person next to you. But believe you me, there's nothing like it when the glory of the Lord appears. And then, as if that wasn't enough, God spoke to him. God spoke. That's the way God does things. He reveals himself through words. God spoke to him and gave him some instructions about what to do with the rock. Take the staff and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock. Moses, you think you're done. You think you're past it. You think you've got nothing more to offer. But I'll tell you, Moses, you will go and stand before that rock and water will come out. You will do it. On the previous occasion, if you compare the two, God says, I will get water out of the rock. This time, God says, Moses, you'll do it. You will get water out of the rock. So far, so good. He told Moses to go and take the staff. On the previous occasion, he had told Moses to take his staff. God had been very specific. He said, take the staff that you use when the waters of the Red Sea roll back. Different staff this time. Take too long to explain the difference between the two staffs. Maybe we'll come back to that in the prayer meeting tonight. But there was a staff which was Aaron's staff, which budded, which was in the presence of God, a very special staff. And God said, that's the staff you're to take. Go and stand before the rock and speak to it. So far, so good. Moses and Aaron, they went. They took the staff. It says quite clearly, Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence. Wasn't his staff, which he kept in his inside pocket. It was the staff from the Lord's presence. And then something happened which can so easily happen for each of us. We think we know better. There will be sometimes it's the most precious moment when we're so sure that God has spoken to us, we hold on to that, and then what the enemy of our soul wants to do is to snatch that word away. Doesn't want us to enjoy it, doesn't want us to act upon it. And one way he does it is to say, why don't you just leave for a moment what God has said to you and just do what you know has worked before? There'll be times in our life as a fellowship, in your life as an individual, when the temptation will be there, why don't we just do what we've always done? We know it works. Speaking to the rock, that isn't going to work. I need to strike the rock. And then Aaron looked at Moses, looked at the staff. He saw the staff that he picked up from the presence of the Lord, which was just a staff budding with beautiful flowers. He said, can't use that. Maybe just put it to one side. Maybe give it to Aaron to hold on to. And Moses said, I'll take my trusted staff, the one that I held up over the Red Sea and the waters went back, the one that I held in front of King Pharaoh and it turned into a snake. This is the staff that does things. That's the one that I'll use. And he struck the rock. You see, Moses made some mistakes. He was failing by now to appreciate and to value the holiness of God. You see, just leaving the story aside for a moment. See, Moses had it in his mind. This is not me condemning Moses. He's actually quite a remarkable man, let me hasten to add. But Moses had this in his mind. It's so easy to happen that God's holiness was his judgment. He knew that God was holy. In his view, God had been holy at that time when he stood up, when he was up the mountain and he declared the Ten Commandments. That was God's holiness. That was God's purity. God was holy in Moses' view when he punished the people for when the golden calf was made. We'll come back to that story another time. And then Moses would say, but God was merciful at times also. God was merciful when the people cried out and the manna came down from heaven. We can look at that next Sunday. God was merciful that other time when the rock was smitten and the water came out. God was merciful. But Moses didn't quite get it, that God is one, and God is both holy in that sense, and God is also merciful. And to grasp the holiness of God, we need to grasp both. And we need not to get it wrong, which Moses got wrong here, because he said, these people, they need a good telling off. Not only did he pick up the wrong stuff, but he also used the wrong words. God was compassionate and merciful towards the people. God said, of course the people need water. I need to find a way of providing them with water. Yes, they are a bit rough in the way they speak to you, Moses, but I'm afraid, Moses, you're a leader. That goes with the territory. These people, I want to show them mercy. And it says that Moses stood up before the people and said, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Moses, just a minute. God has said that's what you're to do. And his emotions, because, as I say, the pressure that he was under, his emotions got the better of him, and he just spoke words that he didn't really need to say, and on reflection, he wished he hadn't said. Do you ever do that? Do you ever say something because there's something bubble up inside you, and it's some sort of righteous indignation you condemn? Maybe it's the person, maybe somebody's done something wrong, and you say, you shouldn't have done that, and words come out that you wish hadn't come out. And God is saying to you, God, remember, I'm holy. That doesn't mean just that you shout at somebody. It means that you show compassion, show my heart, my mercy, my grace towards those people. God was grieved because of what Moses said. Now, you might have thought that Moses, having made it so badly wrong, and then got into the point where he actually struck the rock rather than speaking to the rock, that God would have said, well, too bad, no water. No water. I said that if you speak to the rock, water will come out. But God said, the water will come anyway. God made sure it came. It's interesting, incidentally, that Moses struck the rock twice. Do you notice that when Janet read it? Moses struck the rock twice. I don't know because I wasn't there. But I don't think Moses sort of, it wasn't like that sort of twice. I think Moses struck the rock and nothing happened. God gave Moses a chance to actually think again and just speak to the rock. Sometimes God gives us a chance, doesn't he? He said, just a minute, just think, just wait, just think. Try and remember what I said to you. But he didn't. He picked up his stuff and he struck the rock again. And God, in his mercy, let water flow. God's holiness is his mercy. And that's what Moses failed to appreciate. And that's why God said to Moses, Moses, I'm afraid you're not really qualified now to take the people into the land. God, it's important that we understand the scope of God's holiness. It's important also, I say in closing, that we understand the significance of these rocks. I don't want to get too technical, but there are two rocks in these two stories. You see, on the face of it, it seems a bit harsh of God to tell Moses, just because you struck the rock rather than speaking to it, that you're not going to go into the promised land. Seems a bit of a disproportionate punishment. Anybody think so? No, of course you don't. Of course you don't. You're far too spiritual. Seems a bit of a disproportionate punishment. But the thing is, it wasn't simply that Moses disobeyed. It wasn't simply that he said, I think I'll do the thing that's always worked before, because that's what we can rely upon. See, God, Moses was in a sense unaware of this, but God saw the big eternal picture. Things that happen in the Old Testament, which is why we're going through. We're not going through these stories of the wilderness just to give you an interesting history lesson. That's not the purpose of what we're doing. We're doing it because God speaks to us through his living word. Do you believe that? God speaks to us through it, and that's why we do it. And so we have to look at this text, and in particular, we have to find Jesus there. Anybody believe that Jesus is in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament? We have to find Jesus there. Of course you do. And you see, when in that first occasion the rock was smitten, back in Exodus, early on, the rock was smitten and water came out. Now, just in case we're not quite sure of the significance of that, Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, we're going to come back to this in a couple of weeks' time as well, when Adam's going to be preaching to us, Paul said, you know the story about Moses in the wilderness? You know the thing about the rock? Well, the rock is the... Anybody? The rock is the Christ, he says. You're right, Jesus, the rock is the Christ. And whenever we say the rock in the Old Testament, we've sung it already about this rock, the shelter of the rock, that speaks to us of Jesus, because he's the rock, the reliable one, the rock, the rock, the rock. But the rock in Exodus was smitten, was struck. And Jesus, my rock, was smitten, was struck on the cross for me and for you. He died to pay the penalty for the wrong that I'd done. He was smitten and he died. And the result of that was living water flowed. I can be refreshed, I can be renewed, I can be cleansed because the rock was smitten. Hold on to that. Maybe you're watching online this morning. Maybe this is double dutch to you, on about. But hold on to the fact that Jesus on the cross was crucified for you. His blood was shed for you. And the outcome is that you can be washed clean and stand before God as if you'd never done anything wrong. That's the truth of the rock that was smitten. So therefore, not surprisingly, God said to Moses, this time you just need to speak to the rock. It doesn't need to be smitten. It doesn't need to be struck again. You don't have to come again. You don't have to come again and sacrifice. What Jesus did, he did once and forever. Just speak to the rock. So in that sense, for Moses to have struck the rock was an anathema to God. For that to happen, he said, no, all my people need to do now is come and take of the water. It reminds me actually of that little verse at the end of Revelation where almost at the very end of the Bible, where John, writing it, says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let one who wishes take freely of the water of life. God, when God was looking at that rock, the second rock that Moses was to speak to, God didn't just see a rock in the wilderness. God saw in that the prefiguring of Jesus and the fact that water would flow because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, water would flow and people could come freely. And God wasn't going to stop that happening. Therefore, when Moses struck the rock, God said, too bad that he struck the rock, but still the water's going to flow because I want people to know and I want ultimate generations to know. I want people sitting in Malvern Evangelical Church in 4,000 years' time to know that they can come freely to the rock. It's been once smitten. Never will it have to be smitten again. So God had to say to Moses, sorry. Sorry, Moses, you're a great man. Your time's up. Somebody else will take the people into the promised land. I think there are all sorts of other reasons why God said that. We won't go into now. But I think we need to understand, just like Moses had to understand, the significance of God's holiness. God's holiness is his mercy. So when he said at the end, you didn't honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, he was saying, you didn't recognize, you didn't show my mercy. You shouted at them, you rebelled, shouted them as rebels. You didn't show me to be holy. But God always has the last word, because the next verse says, when the people quarreled with the Lord, it was there that he proved holy amongst them. If we fail God, he will demonstrate his holiness, his mercy, his love and his compassion, which of course he did so wonderfully on the cross. Let's pray together. Just as we sit quietly in the room here and reflect on what I've been saying, or sit in your room at home reflecting on what I've been saying, I don't want you to get confused by the remarkable imagery of this passage. But I pray simply you will hold on to the fact that right at the end of the Bible, God declares that wonderful invitation. If you're thirsty, come and drink freely. And Lord, I pray that there will be rising within our spirits this morning an appreciation of what you in your mercy have done for us. And also there may arise a seeking after you, and a desire to take that step which says, yes, I really want to understand what it is to have my thirst quenched with the water of life. Help us, Lord, as we respond to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.